Thou is God's child. Sometimes people can say, you know, like I say, this is my child. I was talking to someone yesterday, and we were talking about a certain situation that I'd gone through and how that people give you advice, you know, about your child, what to do with them and all. I heard the advice, but I said in my heart, that's my child. So I wasn't thinking about what they were saying to do. So we are God's child. And do you know the little care or the little how we care for our children? It's nothing really compared to the way God cares for his children. And it's a blessing to be God's child. I want us to look at today the different, how God cares for us, the different advantages or benefits in being God's child. You know, we become God's child when we repent of our sins and when we ask him to forgive us for our sins and when we ask him to come into our heart. Then we become his child. And he's a gracious father. A few weeks we probably will think about Father's Day and our fathers, but God is our heavenly father, and he has a great care over his children, and yet we do have a responsibility to him. Just because we his child don't mean we can do anything we want to do. Sometimes children will think, you know, I'm a clay, or I'm a this, and I'm a that, and they kind of feel a little privileged, right? But, well, that's true. That's the way they feel, and sometimes they think they can get away with stuff. My sister and I was having this conversation yesterday about how things were when we were growing up. And she claims that I got away with everything, and she didn't get away with nothing. I let her say that. But I don't think that's exactly as accurate as it could have been. Because she was the baby, and usually baby kind of gets away with some stuff. At any rate, this is the way it is when we have a relationship with God. We can benefit from his goodness, his care. And let's go to Isaiah 43:1. I love being God's child. And it's not that I feel like I'm better than anyone because I'm his child, but I love the care and compassion and the leadership that he has. Sometimes he might lead us in ways we might not always just want to go that way, but it's for our good. Somebody read that.
Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine.
See how wonderful that is? I've called you by thy name, thou art mine. Isn't that wonderful? That the Lord, he takes us as his own. We could take this scripture, and I tell you, it's a comfort to us to know that God looks at us just like that. I've called you by your name, thou art mine. I love you. I care about you. I am going to do all I can to bless you in life and in eternity. It's a blessing. It's a privilege to be God's child. John 4 and 4. First John 4 and 4. I'm sorry.
First John.
Yeah.
We are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Ye are of God, little children. It's wonderful to have this privilege to be of God. And I want us to think about how that not only he cares, but if we're his child, we want to respond to him like a child. I was thinking about how that we, like I said, we'll probably talk about fathers, but some fathers are very, maybe gentle, but some are not. Some of them can be kind of rough and selfish and not very kind. But that's not God. Do you know, even when he admonishes us, he admonishes us in love. Even when he has to tell us, for instance, maybe we didn't go do something quite right, and he has to talk to us about it. You know, he talks to us in a gentle voice. He doesn't talk to us in a crushing voice. If you make a mistake and you get a crushing accusation, you better believe that's the devil, not God. Because God is not in the business of tearing down. He's in the business of building up. He told Peter or some of his disciples, I came not to destroy the world, but that the world through him might be saved, I believe it is. He didn't come to destroy us. Even if we make a mistake, he's not trying to destroy us. He's trying to correct us and try to help us. And so, with such a loving Father, we can respond to him, right? We want to respond to him. We want to give him love back. We want to follow him and obey him and be as a dear child. Sometimes you'll have children that's difficult to deal with. And then you have the dear child that loves to obey you, loves to do things for you. Look up, they're bringing you a flower. You know, they found a flower out in the grass somewhere and they bring it into you. Or they think, you know, Dad, do you need some water? Or they might bring some shoes, whatever. They do things for you. That's called a dear child. We want to be dear children to God, realizing how much he cares for us. We want to, reciprocate that love and that care that he gives to us. Let's go to Ephesians 5 and 1 to 2. So we want to respond to his love, and we want to follow him, we want to obey him, and we want to show him how much we appreciate his goodness and his care.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor.
You see, he's been so good to us. He sent his son to die for us, and his son loved us so much that he was willing to give his life as a sweet-smelling savor. He did it all for us because of the great love. This is, you know, if you have in the household a lot of bitterness and strife and you know, it's hard to live and reciprocate love when you get all anger and wrath. You have sometimes some of the fathers maybe like to drink, and they come in, they're ready to at least a little thing get on their nerve, and they're ready to holler at people or beat them and all that kind of stuff. And that doesn't facilitate a love environment. But that's not so with the Lord. He loves us so much, and he shows his love on all the time and on a daily basis. It makes us want to love him. And we want to love him, show we love him, by listening to him and following him and obeying him. Go to Matthew now, 6:9-13. We have the privilege of calling God Almighty our Father. Isn't that amazing? He's the God of the heaven. He made us. He made the universe. And yet, he cares for us so much that we can come to him and call him our Father. This scripture, it tells of how we pray to him. What did we say? Our Father, which art in heaven. That's the way we can come to him, because we're his child. And we can say Father. I've heard some people even say Daddy. Well, I don't think I would call God Daddy. I call him Father. That's what the scriptures say. But he's dear to us, like a daddy, like a father. He is our Father.
Matthew 6:9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven.
See how we do? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We want to do the will of God here on this earth, like the angels do there in heaven. Like his will is being done in heaven, we want to do it here as his dear child. And so we just want to be recognized that God has provided for us this adoption. He adopted us. And you know, I'm tell you something about adopted child. Adopted child is very special. They're special, it wasn't a mistake. Sometimes people have children and it's a mistake they didn't intend to. But you deliberately choose that adopted child. You want them. And God has adopted us. Let's go to Romans 8:14-17.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
And read all the way to 17.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we may suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
See how we are adopted. We are his child through the adoption, and this came through Jesus Christ. You see, none of us would be his children if Jesus had not come and gave his life for us. But he came so that we might be saved, so that we might be adopted into the family of God. And we're not only going to be, we're adopted, but we're heirs. When you have an adopted child, they become heirs, just like everyone else in that family, those born of you and those adopted. So we have been adopted into the family of God. And we have the privilege of all the privileges that even Jesus said, joint heirs with Christ. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So we can expect to get all the blessings that he has for us in this life and in eternal life. So we got heaven ahead of us. That's what we were talking in Sunday school about, treasures. And if we have these treasures, that, like suppose Brent mentioned how that he, you know, you might want $1 million, but to have Jesus is better than $1 million. When you die, you gotta leave this here. But you know something? We have the privilege of eternal blessings, not just now for these few years we live, but for all eternity, which is no ending to it. Galatians 3, 26, 27. So it is a privilege. I can say this over and over. It is a privilege to be saved. Salvation is a privilege. We don't need to be feeling bad because we're not doing this and we're not doing that. We should be rejoicing that we have this opportunity to be God's child, to be saved, to live a free life, a happy life. This is a happy life. Even though we have trials, we have heartaches, we have pain, but yet it doesn't take away from the happiness that we have in Christ.
For you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
See how we got there? Because through salvation, and then, of course, when we are baptized into Christ, this can be a spiritual baptism, and it can be literal baptism as well. We are his children by the baptism of Christ being in our hearts and our lives. And it's a wonderful experience. You know, there's a song in the songbook that says, "Hope we have within us is an anchor to the soul. It is both steadfast and sure. It is founded on the promises of God's written word, and we shall evermore endure." And then verse part, the chorus, it says, "We have a hope." Let me see, what is that number?
200, I think.
Within our souls. And it says something about, "We have a hope within our soul," 198, "brighter than the perfect day. God has given us his spirit, and we want the world to hear it. All the doubts are passed away." We want to let the world know, I'm not ashamed. What Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God to everyone that believes." I'm not ashamed of this life. I want to tell the world, this is the best life to live. You're missing out. You know, sometime you had a good meal. Yesterday? Was it yesterday or the day before? They had that meatloaf and stuff. And I was telling somebody, I don't think they got any, but I'm thinking, you really missed it. You missed out. It was really good. And the same thing with the Lord. We want to tell people, you're missing out. You don't know how good this is. It's happy. It's wonderful to be free in your heart and to be a child of God. And he's taking care of you. He's guiding you through life. And then when we die, we have hope of eternal life. Let's go to Galatians 4 and read 4-6.
Galatians 4, 4-6.
Mm-hmm.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father.
Yes. So we are so blessed to be adopted into his kingdom and into the family of God and into his this circle like God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and us. We're in a circle, our family circle. This go to now. I want to think about sometimes people say, kids, you know, they'll say, my dad is stronger than your dad. My dad is smarter than your dad. I mean, kids do that. So I was thinking, I said, our father is stronger than all the dads, all the people in the world, our father is stronger than all. And he's more loving than all. You might get some strong dads, but you get a real loving dad, you're doing really good. And then I could say, he's kinder than all. He handles me gently. I actually had a gentle father. According to my brother, I don't think he was as gentle with him, but with us girls, he was gentle. He really was. And that was even though he wasn't saved all the time, he still was gentle. And I appreciate that. So we have a gentle father and we have a compassionate father. Let's go to John 10 and 29. St. John 10 and 29.
My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Look at that. He's greater than all. And nobody can, when you get into the Lord, he can protect you. Nobody can. The devil can't pluck you out of his hand, and nobody can pluck you out of his hand. You know how we depend on, really, I'm a person that basically depend on the males as far as protection. That's just the way I am. And so I can imagine, you know, you see a dog coming or something, what's the child going to do? They're going to kind of get behind the dad, right? Right. No, he's going to protect us. He's greater than all. Nobody going to be able to take you out of God's hands. So we're blessed to have this great big God that can do all things. Now let's go to John 14, 28 to 31. I'll read it. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Herein I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has found nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go yonder. Hence. So Jesus is letting us know how much he loved the Father. The Father loved him, and it says the Father gave me. And he does what the Father commands. He said, I love the Father, and as the Father gave me command, that I do. And just like Jesus did what God commanded him to do, we should do the same, because we should love him. knowing how gracious he is and how much he cares about us, we should love him. I want to read a few things. Let's go to Revelation 7 and 15. We're going to try to move along. We want to know that God, this great God, that's able to do so much for us, he cares about our emotions and our feelings. Sometimes we have most emotional times when we just, things get to us and we feel like crying. But in one scripture it says he'll wipe all tears from my eyes. He cares. Not even one tear that drops from us that he doesn't pay attention to. So we have one that cares about our feelings. Revelation 7, 15, 17.
Revelation 7 and 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Don't you see how gentle he is and how he cares? He wipe away all tears from our eyes. This is a blessing to know that we have this kind of a Father. Go to Revelations 21 and 4.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
We can expect this. This is our expectation. When we go to heaven, when the end of the world comes, he's going to wipe all tears from my eyes. It's not going to be any more suffering and pain and grief and all this. That will be over. So we can enjoy these blessings while we're here, but when we die, we can have it in a greater manner, in a greater level, a higher level. And it's eternal. Eternal bliss, eternal security, eternal happiness we have because we're his child. So, but there's one thing we want to be willing to humble ourselves. Like the Father loves the child and does things, sometimes he has to reprimand us when we don't do it quite like he wants us to do. So let's go to Hebrews 12 and read 5 to 11. Just like a father here, we were talking about getting whippings from people, your parents, today. The fathers give some really tough whippings. When I had my children, I actually depended on my husband to do most of the whipping and stuff. My son told me, Johnny, he said, I was telling him how that when he was 15 years old, I had to give him a whipping. He said, I told him, Johnny, it was a chair kind of like that. I said, just bend over this chair. 15 now. He just bent over it like it wasn't nothing. So after he got grown, I started talking to him about how he was so submissive. And he said, well, Mom, your whippings weren't too. Other words, it wasn't much of a challenge to submit to them. I guarantee you, they couldn't say that about my husband. They weren't, you know. So God is like that. He's our Heavenly Father, and he has to sometimes give us little reprimand, little chastening. 12, Hebrews 12:5. Mm-hmm.
And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him.
Keep going to 11.
The Lord loveth, he chastises, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. And if ye endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastises not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons.
So, I think that goes on some more, but the thought is the Lord will chasten us if we are maybe doing things that's not his way for us to do. But we learn from those. And if we will humble ourselves, it will be a blessing to us. And he goes on and there he said the fathers of this world, sometimes they chasing you after their own pleasure. And I think about that as sometimes when maybe they just get angry or they're just, you know, you're getting on their nerves, so they might give you a whipping. But God is not like that. He has a purpose in what he does. And he doesn't chasten us because we just got his last nerve. But he chasten us for us to learn. To learn to do what he would have us to do. And he chasten for our good. So that's the way he treats us. We're his child, but he treats us just like a natural father would treat his child. Only he does it for our good. Not because he's just upset. So now we want to skip down to the last I want to think about at the end. What is all this? What are we going to gain from this? If we have followed the Lord, if we walked with him as dear child, you know, we have to maintain our relationship with God. When we get saved, we can't just do what we want to do. We have to do what the Lord wants us to do. And if we obey him and we follow him, we will remain in that father-child relationship. And then we can have an eternal blessing. Let's go to Revelation 21:7.
Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
See, if we overcome, we want to overcome the world, we want to overcome ourselves, we want to be obedient to him, we want to be follow him as a dear child, because a dear child will do what you want them to do. They are close to you. And we want to be close to the Lord by obeying him and following him and doing what he says in his word. But at the end of time, we're going to reap the benefits and the blessings of heaven. And God is going to say, I know you. You mine. Like he did in Isaiah, pray for me.